Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for this night's message is from the gospel that was read together. How many of you are traveling for Thanksgiving, either tonight or tomorrow? Okay, a couple of people are traveling. Chances are in your lifetime you did some Thanksgiving traveling, a journey, whether it was long or short. I remember growing up and we'd hear on the TV with some of the Thanksgiving programs, the little song, "Over the River and Through the Woods to Grandmother's House We Go." Well, we weren't going to grandmother's house, we were going to my aunt's house. And we did go over some rivers, and we did go over some hills, and we did go through some forests. But it wasn't a very long drive, only about 10 miles, if that. And yet it was the same every year. The route never changed. Except once in a while, Grandpa would take a different route because he wanted to see something different, I suppose. But basically, it was the same route. Always led to my aunt's house. And if we weren't going to my aunt's, well, then it was at my grandmother's house, which wasn't far at all. It was just up the basement steps to grandmother's house we went. It always led to the same place. Most often, Thanksgiving celebrations lead us to the same place, don't they? To everybody coming to our house or us going to somebody else's house. And invariably, it means coming here on Wednesday night. Our Thanksgiving journey always leads us invariably to the same place. The text for this evening is the standard Thanksgiving text. We heard it last year, we'll hear it again next year, and probably every year to come, unless I decide, like Grandpa, I want to journey somewhere else. But there's a lot in that familiar story of the 10 lepers. And it is somewhat of a Thanksgiving journey. And we often think of the one who comes back to give thanks to Jesus and to God for his healing. He's sort of the secondary character aside from Jesus. And there's probably always a temptation to think of those other nine, oh, they must be heathens. They must be Hittites or something. And yet, Jesus says in the end, it's the other way around. The one that comes back to give thanks, he's a Samaritan. He's the one who's considered by the others to be a heathen. Of course, they all find themselves, whether Jew or Gentile, whether Jew or Samaritan, in the same boat. They have leprosy, which means basically they're dead to the world. They're dead to their family. They're dead to their occupation. They're dead to society. They are really walking dead people. And all 10 of them acknowledge Jesus as Lord. They say, "Lord, have mercy on us." Jesus, "Lord, have mercy on us." They acknowledge Jesus as the one who can save them, who can heal them. But only one comes back to Jesus. And I was thinking about that today. Why just that one? That's really quite simple. He's a Samaritan. Jesus says, go and show yourselves to the priest, which was the custom for a leper to do if he was healed. If the priest said he was healed, it was okay to go out into society again. It was the big okie-dokie, if you will. But this Samaritan, what would the priest say to a Samaritan who they don't acknowledge to be a worshiper of God? Why would the Samaritan go to show himself to the priest? His priest is the one who is priest overall, is it not? Jesus. And in a sense, he is fulfilling Jesus' command. Go and show yourself to the priest, the high priest, who will sacrifice the sacrifice that brings peace between God and man. The priest who is the sacrifice for the sins of the world. The one who will grant total healing from the leprosy of sin and death that infects us all. But what about those other nine that don't come back? Is it possible? Is it just possible that after showing themselves to the priest, that maybe one or two or a couple of them decide, hey, let's find Jesus and say thanks? Maybe that's wishful thinking on my part. But imagine it being a journey of thanksgiving for those nine to seek Jesus and to give him thanks. You see, sometimes we forget the other nine, and that sometimes we're like the other nine. I was thinking this morning about three men who flew to Washington, D.C., asking for help. Oh, Congress, oh, great Congress, help us. We're going bankrupt. Help us. And of course, you saw maybe on the news some of the hearings and the banter between the congressmen and the senators and the three leaders of the auto industry. And I couldn't help but think of those 10 that come to Jesus. And he gives them what they ask, only more so. And only one comes back to say thank you. Now, some of the congressmen said, why didn't you carpool and nobody had anything to say? How much are you willing to work for? How much of your salary are you willing to give up if we give you some money to bail you out? And one had to think about it, and one didn't think he could care to comment on that. And then I wonder if they were given something, would any of them say thank you? Financial institutions have gotten a big gift. I don't see it anywhere in the newspaper or on the news that any of those said thank you. Of course, some of them went off and had a big conference at some expensive hotel. But I can't really be too critical of those people, can I? Because sometimes I get great gifts. More, worth more than a $700 trillion bailout or whatever it's going to be. And I go off and I do my own thing. I squander the gift that's given to me. and I'm sure I'm not alone. But notice what Jesus says to this one man. Go, your faith has made you well. You see, it was more than just a physical healing that man received, but it was also a spiritual healing. And it becomes very easy for us to simply look at things from an economic standpoint, to gauge things by how much we're paying for a gallon of gas or how much our groceries are costing us or our clothing. And yet, maybe like Moses said to the people in Deuteronomy, maybe the Lord your God is testing you so that you will come to know that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. And that the real gift isn't measured in dollars and cents. It's not measured in gold or silver, but it's measured in the precious body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, given for the forgiveness of our sins. And so you see, our journey of thanksgiving always leads us back to the same place, doesn't it? It always leads us back to the cross. It always leads us to what God has done for us in Jesus Christ. There is an awful lot that God gives us in this world to sustain us in our physical life, but none of them measure up to what He gives us in His Son, Jesus Christ. Because without having the knowledge of Jesus Christ as our Savior from sin and death, life itself is rather empty, isn't it? It is rather meaningless. St. Augustine says, O Lord, our souls are restless until we find our rest in Thee. And St. Augustine, well, you know, in his life before the St. Augustine part, he was sort of a Hugh Hefner of his day. He was a playboy. He was a worldly man engaged in the pleasures of the world. So he knew something of what he was speaking about, because he sought rest and meaning in all the things of the world and found them lacking. And so our Thanksgiving journey brings us again to what God gives us in His Son, which is the first and foremost thing that we ought to be thankful for. When I worked as a chaplain at a Boy Scout camp, there was an older man, an Englishman, who took great pride in the fact that he was an English Boy Scout and knew the father of scouting. And the kids, the boys, well, they always sort of poked fun at the older gentleman because of his accent and his ways, and he was very proper. And he was noted for writing down on slips of paper little sayings and giving them to the boys to think about if they had misbehaved in the craft shop. Here, take this along with you and think about it while you're going back to your tent. And one of the things that he said, that he wrote out, was, a gift is not truly a gift until it's been thanked for. Which, in my English, I had to sort of twist around a little bit and say, oh yeah, okay, I get it. It isn't a gift until I say, thank you. I really haven't received it until I acknowledge that you've given it to me, and I thank you for it. That one leper who returns acknowledges both the giver and the gift in his giving thanks. We also acknowledge the gift and the giver when we acknowledge Jesus as our Lord and what he has given to us, healing from sin, death, and the power of the devil. And for us, that journey of thanksgiving isn't just a one night or a one day affair, but it's really a journey of thanksgiving every day of our life as we give thanks to him for that great blessing. I wanted to share tonight a letter I received this past week, a week ago today. And you recall back in October we took an offering to help a family in South Wisconsin who had been affected by the floods down there. And we sent that gift down to a congregation down in Edgerton, St. John, happens to be St. John Evangelical Church, just like us. How about that? And I received this letter and thought tonight would be an appropriate night to share it. Dear Reverend Ader, brothers and sisters, St. John, and members of your Lady's Aid, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. 2 Corinthians 3 and 4. We are in receipt of your two checks donated by your congregation and Ladies' Aid to assist in the flood relief to our family who lost their home this past summer. The family has been truly blessed by your compassionate response to them in their time of need. Please accept our heartfelt thanks on their behalf. We have purchased gift certificates for the family at Target so that they may begin to put their lives back together again. At this time, they are looking for an affordable apartment while their home is being rebuilt, and plan to use your gift to purchase dishes, cooking utensils, and kitchen supplies. Jesus linked his ministry to our love for our brothers and sisters in faith. We thank you for the love that you have shown to our congregation and through us to our Lord. May his blessings rest upon you always. In Christ, Reverend Cal Seeger and members of St. John Lutheran Church, on behalf of Tricia and Sammy Klug and Timmy Owens. A gift is truly not a gift until it's been thanked for. What a wonderful opportunity for us to express our thanksgiving to God for his gift and sharing that with others. And what an added blessing it is to hear those words of thanksgiving. May God, our Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, grant us thankful hearts as we continue our journey of thanksgiving through this time and space until he brings us at last to our promised land, a land far better than that given to his people Israel, a land indeed where there will be peace and joy, where the Lamb himself will wipe away every tear from our eyes, where there will be no hunger or thirst or want. May God grant that as we live lives of thanksgiving unto him. Amen.